3, 2, 1. I just did that, and then I spoke for like 30 seconds, and I looked up, and I realized the camera wasn't recording. So I'm glad I caught that only 30 seconds in, as opposed to, you know, reading for an hour and then looking up and finally realizing it. So as you'll notice, and it's just little old me here today, there was a fire sale on assless chaps at the gay store. That's where Brandon is. Brandon is buying assless chaps at the gay store. That's the sort of witty commentary you guys come here for. He is joining Alex in Austin, Texas. They're doing some sort of live show and a meetup with the Chat Rats afterwards. So he's not here, which leaves just little old me to record an episode. But I'm having lawsuits to read. So I did actually get an idea from Corey Good for this, which is probably surprising. But in reading the other lawsuit, the countersuit from Gaia, one of the things they were accusing him of doing is he was tweeting out transcripts or links to transcripts for Cosmic Disclosure. And when I read that, it set the wheels in motion in my head, because I realized if he was posting links to transcripts, that means they're just on the internet. And if they're just on the internet, that means they've been consumed by the beast. And by that, I, of course, mean ChatGPT. So what I have today is I have asked for an episode-by-episode breakdown of Cosmic Disclosure as understood by ChatGPT. There's some sort of Mandela effect thing going on, because I always feel like every time I think about Cosmic Disclosure, which thankfully is not frequently, I picture it as having like 4 seasons with 6 episodes a season. That is not remotely true. There are 17 seasons and like 15 to 20 episodes a season. So I have all of season 1 broken down, plus a little bit more. It depends on how long this takes. I have no idea how long it's going to take to get through this. I have a Google Doc drive that's, how many pages is this thing? It's 26 pages. Okay, I very much doubt I'm going to read 26 single-spaced pages. But we shall see. It is always fun to revisit these things after watching the deposition, because we all know the things he claimed to not be real. And I thought it'd be fun to revisit Cosmic Disclosure and look at what he does claim to be real during this. We can play a game of spot the differences. With that in mind, episode 1, season 1. David Wilcox speaks with Corey Good, who claims to be an insider with knowledge about secret government and military programs related to space exploration and extraterrestrial interactions. Good describes being recruited into a program called My Lab at a young age due to his intuitive and empathic abilities. Well, David now also claims to be a member of the My Lab stuff, and the My Lab thing is the one thing Corey stuck to in his deposition, if I recall correctly. He said his teacher worked for the Navy and was taking him to Carswell Air Force Base. I mean, obviously just ridiculous. That was not happening. Also, his part of the story, he always says it was standardized testing that allowed them to figure out that he had these intuitive and empathic abilities. No such standardized test exists, so I don't know. With all the fantastical elements of this story, you think he would have been able to come up with something that did a bit better job of explaining how this happens. I think later he tried to say it was like a family lineage thing. But then I just found out recently that Corey's dad, or maybe his grandfather, was in like a doo-wop band or something. I don't know. Well, look, let's be honest. None of what Corey says is true. Of course, he doesn't come from a family of intuitive empaths. None of this shit is real. Corey discusses his involvement in various programs within the secret space sector, including his participation as an intuitive empath in a diplomatic meeting involving human-looking extraterrestrials and the monitoring of genetic experimentation programs. I believe that's the story that is in the comic book I read. Good details his experiences traveling to a lunar operation command on the moon and then being transported to a research vessel in space. He mentions interactions with different factions within the secret space program, including Solar Warden, Interplanetary Corporate Conglomerate, I love that name, it's so generic, Dark Fleet, Black Ops Military Programs, and a Global Galactic League of Nations group. Later, Good talks about being contacted by a group of higher density beings called the Blue Avians, who communicate telepathically and emphasize messages of love, forgiveness, not debt forgiveness, and service to others. He describes his meeting with them and their efforts to assist humanity in preparing for a transformational shift in consciousness. Despite concerns about potential manipulation or deception, Good asserts that the Blue Avians' message is not intended to promote a new religion or control system. Well, it's funny because, you know, in the deposition, he was comparing the Blue Avians to angels. And angels, by their nature, are kind of religious. That's sort of the origin, to the best of my understanding. I feel I should also point out here, I have not read any of these summaries. I was just, you know, conversing with ChatGPT, and I figured it would ruin it if I read it ahead of time. So it's very possible that this deteriorates at some point, and if so, I'll fix it. But we're just, you're hearing it read for the first time as I read it for the first time. Episode 2. Corey Good recounts his journey from being an anonymous insider to a liaison for the Blue Avians, a group connected to an alliance. Good describes being thrust into his role after his name was brought up by the Blue Avians, leading to an introduction to a new group, including Lieutenant Colonel Gonzalez. Oh, Gonzalez. Everything was so much simpler back then. The Blue Avians communicate telepathically and have appeared to Good both at home and in shuttlecraft trips to the Lunar Operation Command. During one meeting, Good is tasked with relaying messages from Tyr Eir, a Blue Avian, to a diverse audience, including military and political figures, who ask various questions ranging from technological to esoteric. Okay, that is the story told in the comic book, where he gets brought up there and he's forced to speak in front of the audience. Tyr Eir emphasizes messages of love, forgiveness, and raising consciousness, cautioning against distortions of their teachings. The conversation also delves into the power of collective consciousness, the challenges of managing emotions, and the limitations imposed on military action by the sphere-being alliance. Despite desires for military intervention, the focus remains on personnel and collective spiritual development to navigate cosmic changes. Episode 3. Corey and David delve into the intricacies of the secret space program, specifically focusing on the Lunar Operation Command and the formation and goals of the Secret Space Program Alliance. Good describes the construction layout of the LOC, emphasizing its secretive and mostly underground nature. I believe it was shaped like a swastika, if I'm recalling correctly. I believe they were moon Nazis. Corey also discusses the presence of other extraterrestrial bases on the moon, such as Darkfleet Base on the backside of the moon. They go on to discuss the history of the SSP, mentioning the inception of the Solar Warden Group in the late 70s and its role in policing the solar system. Corey explains that the alliance was formed by defectors from various space fleet groups, including the Interplanetary Corporate Conglomerate and Darkfleet, with the goal of ending the control exerted by the secret Earth government and bringing advanced technologies to humanity. The conversation touches on the potential societal changes that may occur if the Alliance's goals are achieved. Well, Corey, after his deposition footage leaked, the first part, before he knew there were going to be six full parts of his deposition, I shouldn't use the word leaked. It wasn't leaked. His lawyer fucked up, and that's how everyone got the footage. He made that reply video, and in that video he said the alliance had failed. So this, keep that in mind as we go through this too. This all-powerful alliance, it failed. It's no good. It accomplished bupkis. Corey and David also discuss the potential impact of the alliance's actions on Earth, detailing how the dissemination of information and technology could lead to significant societal shifts and transformation. Overall, the conversation provides a detailed look into the workings and objectives of the Secret Space Program Alliance and its implications for the future of humanity and interstellar relations. Episode 4. Corey Good talks about the secret space program, discussing the extensive infrastructure throughout the solar system that includes mining operations, industrial complexes, and colonies of human beings. Corey explains that there are numerous facilities in various locations, such as inside hollowed out asteroids, beneath the surface of Mars, on moons of gas giants, and even on the moon itself. Come on, guys. Like, let's... No one could put together this was all bullshit as soon as it came out of his mouth. People were living inside of hollowed-out asteroids and on the moon. He mentions that some colonies have populations of up to 1 million people with hundreds of facilities spread across the solar system. I'm not the most observant guy, but I feel like someone somewhere would have noticed 1 million people living on the moon. That's a lot of people. The conversation covers the technology used in these facilities, including gravity plating for artificial gravity, Schumann resonance for health, and advanced systems for ensuring comfortable living conditions in different environments. They also delve into Corey's experience on a research vessel, his interactions with the different groups of people on board, and the limited access he had to colonies and facilities during maintenance visits. Corey shares details about the biological life found in the solar system, such as plasma life and ocean life under the ice of moons, as well as plant and animal life on Mars. He discusses the types of conversations and activities that took place on the research vessel, the layout of the ship, and the daily routines of crew members. They also touch upon the potential future implications of disclosure and sharing of advanced technology with humanity, leading to significant societal change and opportunities for space exploration. Overall, the detailed conversation provides insight into the complexity and scale of the SSP, as well as offering a glimpse into the everyday life and experiences of those involved in these secretive operations. Episode 5. ChatGPT gets the name of the... it doesn't say Gaia TV. Okay. In this episode, episode 5, they explore the complex dynamics of the SSP and the presence of sphere beings in our solar system. I forgot about the sphere beings. I guess that makes sense. You know, the sphere being alliance. Although I thought sphere referred to the Earth and we were the sphere beings because we lived on a sphere. I guess I'm wrong, though. Corey, as an insider with direct contact with these beings, shares some of his personal experiences and interactions with the sphere beings. Corey describes how the sphere beings have been present in a non-operational mode in our solar system since the late 1980s, observing and monitoring the energetic changes in the galaxy. However, in recent years, around 2011/2012, they started to become more active in response to the impending energetic shifts affecting our solar system. These beings, consisting of thousands of equidistantly distributed spheres of various sizes... What lazy writing. What are they? They're a bunch of circles. A bunch of different shaped equidistant circles. Right, so these equidistant circles act as a kind of resonance buffer to diffuse and distribute the incoming energetic waves in a harmonious and non-harmful way. It sounds like Corey was just stoned and staring at like a Windows 97 screensaver. And there's also the pastel pipe beings. During his encounter with the sphere beings, Corey recounts being taken onto one of the spheres and communicating with them through the spherical wall. Oh, everything's a sphere, even the walls. He describes the spherical network stretching out across the solar system and appearing as indigo blue in color. Oh, so these are the spheres that would land in his backyard and take him to the LOC. That makes sense. So they're indigo blue in color and emanate a sense of otherworldly presence. Corey notes that the spheres are out of phase with our physical reality, making them imperceptible to regular observation or interaction. Oh, that's very convenient. It sucks. Wow, man, what are the odds that the beings that most frequently visit him at his house, they're not visible. Most unfortunate. Furthermore, Corey explains that the different sizes of spheres, with moon-sized ones being spread equidistantly and larger ones positioned near gas giants like Neptune and Jupiter, he speculates on the purpose of the size variations, suggesting they may serve a specific resonant function in maintaining the energy balance of the solar system. The conversation also delves into the spiritual teachings and messages conveyed by the sphere beings, focusing on raising one's vibration and consciousness to adapt to the evolving energies in the solar system. Well, it sounds like they failed at that. I don't know what part of becoming enlightened involves, slandering the company you work for and suing everyone, but... Or maybe that's how advanced they are. They're so ahead of us that I can't comprehend that the way to actually be enlightened is to act like a dick to everyone. Corey emphasizes the importance of meditation, positive thinking, and a shift towards a more loving and forgiving mindset as key components of spiritual growth and personal transformation. Well, this is the issue with him being on record with all this stuff, isn't it? Because I don't think anyone could reasonably state that what Mr. Good has gotten up to in the last several years would qualify as displaying a loving and forgiving mindset. It's quite literally the opposite of that. Overall, Corey's firsthand experiences with the sphere beings offer a unique perspective on their presence in our solar system and their role in guiding humanity towards a higher state of consciousness. Yeah, but they failed. Damn, that sucks. Even beings of light, they're just sphere beings, even they weren't able to save us. His interactions with these beings provide a deep insight into their intentions, messages, and profound impact they can have on individual and collective evolution. Episode 6. In this, all right, don't editorialize ChatGPT, in this captivating episode of Cosmic Disclosure on Gaia TV, David Wilcock and Corey Good delve into the intriguing subject of ancient builder race technologies and stasis beings found underground. I loved the ancient builder race. I don't know why. It's another one of those very lazy names. Even Blue Avians is lazy because they're just birds and they're blue, therefore Blue Avians. But all of the names Corey provided are just very literal descriptions of things. They were an old race that built stuff, therefore ancient builder race. Corey Good, drawing from his insider knowledge of the secret space program, shares details of these extraordinary discoveries and their implications for understanding our hidden history and advanced technologies. David and Corey discuss the influence of relativity theory and Einstein's work on time manipulation within the secret space program. Oh, damn. I didn't know Einstein worked on the secret space program. I've heard him being involved with the Montauk Project thing, and I believe David also says he worked with Valiant Thor. I guess this is another lazy thing all these guys do, is they kind of rely on the reputation of more famous people, like well-respected people, because they're not well-respected. So if they can insert respected people into their story, I think through some sort of transitive property, they believe it makes their story more believable, which is, in my opinion, why Einstein shows up in so many of these stories. Corey reveals that there was a part of Einstein's equation that needed adjustment. Yeah, stupid fucking Einstein. Corey Good knew how to fix the relativity theory. Einstein's equation that needed adjustment, hinting at suppressed knowledge of advanced physics, of course. He mentions, notice how he can't take any of this knowledge back with him. I understand you can't take pictures or whatever for, the dumb reasons they give. But to be able to speak on the need to adjust Einstein's equation would imply to me that he would have some sort of knowledge of that equation and the ways in which it needs to be changed. And if that were true, he could make himself a very, very, very wealthy man by displaying that knowledge to the public. So they fix Einstein's equation. It was hinting at suppressed knowledge of advanced physics. He mentions that time dilation could occur as one approaches the speed of light, leading to fascinating implications for space travel and time perception. Corey then delves into the discovery of stasis beings found beneath the Earth's surface, particularly under mountains and burial mounds. These beings, preserved in a state between life and death, utilize ancient builder race technology to create temporal bubbles that alter the passage of time within their chambers. Corey recounts the unique properties of this technology and the mysterious beings found in stasis, including red-haired, white-skinned giants with advanced metallurgy knowledge. So we got... We got Space Gingers who perform metallurgy. The conversation expands to explore the significance of these ancient technologies in various parts of the world, including the Americas and Europe, shedding light on a lost chapter of human history. Corey details the intricate structures, transparent pyramids, and time bubble generating devices attributed to the ancient builder race, showcasing their sophisticated and multidimensional technologies. Dave and Corey contemplate the potential uses and implications of these time-manipulating technologies, pondering their connections to the upcoming energetic shift in our solar system. They touch on the presence of different religious symbols and artifacts associated with the stasis beings, hinting at a diverse cultural influence and cross-cultural interactions in ancient times. The episode concludes with a reflection on the enigmatic nature of these discoveries and the possibilities they present for humanity's future exploration of advanced technologies and our hidden past. Dave and Corey emphasize the importance of seeking truth and expanding our understanding of the universe in this thought-provoking and enlightening conversation. You know, pleading with people to seek truth while filming a TV show that is literally nothing but lies is pretty cool. I don't know. Well, I guess we can see it. I believe there's a good deal of spiritual malaise that exists within David and Corey. And I would posit that probably part of the reason that exists is they espouse all these sort of religious and philosophical ideals, and they live up to literally none of them, which is probably not good for the spirit to claim all these things and then just actually not partake in any of them. You can't preach the gospel of truth through lies. It's not really possible. Well, I guess it is possible until eventually you get sued. You can get away with a lot more than anyone would anticipate, I guess. Episode 7. In this detailed narrative, Corey Good recounts a covert mission he undertook with Gonzalez to a covert facility located on Mars that was operated by the clandestine ICC, Interplanetary Corporate Conglomerate. Upon arrival, I love that Corey's like fucking 007, too. He's, you know, this all-knowing empath who can fix Einstein's equations in one episode and then become a top-secret agent in the next episode. Upon arrival, they were given a tour of the facility that showcased advanced technology, including androids and powerful energy generators. Throughout the tour, they were strictly instructed not to speak or ask questions. God, I wish someone would instruct Corey to do that now. Adding an air of mystery and tension to the experience. As the presentation progressed, Good noticed that the ICC representatives were closely monitoring their reactions and engagement with the information presented. Despite their best efforts to remain observant, Gonzalez suddenly decided to deviate from the plan and suggested they visit a family living within the facility. This unexpected turn of events left Good feeling both anxious and determined to uncover the truth about the living conditions and restrictions imposed upon the inhabitants of the Mars facilities. Oh no, it's going to be like an internment camp? Upon meeting the family, Good observed their apprehensive and guarded demeanor, reflecting the oppressive atmosphere they were subjected to. Under the careful scrutiny of the security team, Good and Gonzalez managed to elicit some information from the family, confirming the grim reality of their confinement on Mars and the strict regulations governing their movements. Damn, we got Mars slaves. The emotional impact of hearing firsthand accounts of the family's struggles and witnessing their fear deeply affected Good, reinforcing the urgency of shedding light on the hidden truths of the secret space programs. Following the encounter with the family, Good and Gonzalez were escorted back to the main presentation hall, where the ICC representatives appeared satisfied with the tour's outcome. That doesn't make a ton of sense, does it? That they deviated from the plan and got to talk to a family that talked about how horrible the environment was, and yet the ICC was happy with it? Maybe it was all like it was a double okey-doke. They let them deviate so that family could feed them false information. That's the great part about all this, is you can just keep building on the lies. There's no lie that is more ridiculous than what's already contained herein, so you can really go anywhere with it. Which is, it makes it even funnier that Corey was running out of topics because really nothing was out of bounds for this. He had time travel and invisible aliens and all kinds of stuff. There were a lot of directions to go with this. The poignant experience Good encountered during the Mars facility tour underscored the critical importance of unveiling the harsh realities and covert operations taking place within the SSP, prompting a renewed commitment to exposing the truth and advocating for transparency in these clandestine realms. Episode 8. In this in-depth conversation between... I like that ChatGPT provides like a new adjective for each episode. This one is in-depth conversation between David Wilcock and Corey Good on Cosmic Disclosure. Corey Good, a former insider in the SSP, shares the experience and knowledge about various aspects of the program. One of the key points discussed in Corey's visit to a Mars facility controlled by the ICC. During the visit, Corey describes witnessing advanced technologies such as androids and energy generators. He also mentions encountering spherical flying spacecraft used by the Soviet Union to penetrate secret space programs. Why is everything a sphere? Cosmospheres, Sphere Being Alliance, the Blue Sphere Beings. Corey elaborates on the cosmospheres, explaining that they were metallic spheres in which cosmonauts flew around in outer space. These crafts were causing concern for other space programs, including the United States, as they were tracked back to the Soviet Union. The presence of cosmospheres led to an increased dialogue and collaboration between different factions within the space program. Additionally, Corey recounts a specific incident involving a spherical UFO filmed during the explosion of the Space Shuttle Challenger, which Lieutenant Colonel Tom Bearden claimed was a Russian craft attacking the shuttle. Damn, the Russians blew up Challenger. I've somehow never heard that one. The conversation delves into the dynamics of the space program factions, including the Global Galactic League of Nations group, referred to as a NATO-type group by Corey. The discussion also touches on the alliances formed between nations and the compartmentalization of information within the program to control access to classified knowledge. Corey's description of a peaceful and research-oriented moon colony where personnel from various countries... Wait, how is the moon colony peaceful when it was set up by Nazis? Mostly peaceful Nazis, I guess. The personnel is from various countries and they work together, which highlights the contrast between different locations within the program. Interesting. So moon good, Mars bad. Overall, the conversation offers a detailed insight into the inner workings of the secret space program, exploring topics such as advanced technology, international collaboration, preparations for potential extraterrestrial threats. Corey Good's firsthand, how would we possibly prepare for the threat of invisible beings with hyper-advanced technology? Corey Good's firsthand account provides valuable perspectives, no it does not, on the complexities and hidden agendas within the program, shedding light on the interaction between nations and pursuit of advanced space exploration beyond Earth's boundaries. I'm kind of surprised the 20-in bag hasn't come up more in this, because we're already, this is episode 9, so you know we're like a little over halfway through the season, and I think it's only received one passing mention. Episode 9. Oh, this time it's an engaging conversation. Last time it was in-depth. In this engaging conversation on Cosmic Disclosure, Corey Good, an insider in the SSP, shares his insights on the nature of stars, advanced technologies, the interconnectedness of the universe, and the significance of consciousness in shaping reality. Corey starts by challenging conventional beliefs about stars, emphasizing that they are not simply giant balls of gas on fire as commonly portrayed. He shares details... This is what I'm talking about with you could go anywhere with it. All you do, you pick something common and then you just say it's not what it appears. The moon, not what it appears. The sun, not what it appears. Stars, not what it appears. Everything is not what it appears. Shit, I lost my place. He shares his insights on these technologies. Right. He shares details of his involvement in a research vessel that conducted expeditions to the sun where probes were sent to... Well, someone tried to send Corey into the sun. I guess it didn't work out in the way he intended. He shares details of involvement in a research vessel that conducted expeditions to the sun where probes were sent into sunspots to gather data. Corey describes the sun as electric and confirms the existence of torsion fields in shaping the universe. This is something else you see a lot when you go back into this, and Corey talked about in the deposition. Like, eventually Corey was confirming things in the Law of One, not because he believed in the Law of One, but because David did. David was kind of his entry point to all of this. So I believe this torsion field thing, I don't think Corey gives a fuck about that. I think he did this because it's basically confirmation bias for David. David is more likely to believe him when he talks about these things because David already believes these things. So David just needed a third party to feed him information that he already believed. So this is him getting some sort of third-party verification. But in reality, I think Corey had just read through David's material and stated he didn't. So when he brought these things up, David would think it was happening naturally. The discussion touches on the relationship between stars and planets, highlighting the electromagnetic filament connections that exist between them. Corey delves into the concept of nodes, places where these electromagnetic connections converge and potentially form stargates used by extraterrestrial groups to travel within and beyond our solar system. Almost like that TV show, Stargate SG-1. The conversation then delves into the relationship between sacred geometry, vibration, and consciousness. Corey explains how different geometries and node points on Earth can lead to anomalies like disappearing ships and planes. Damn, shapes are doing that? Attributing these events to natural portals opening due to cosmic influence. Okay, so sometimes you cross like an electromagnetic node point and you just disappear. Yeah, sure, that makes a lot of sense. Corey and David explore the idea of time as an illusion and discuss how multiple layers of geometry and timelines coexist. It's just stoned college talk. Time is an illusion. Challenging traditional linear perspectives on time. Corey emphasizes the role of consciousness in shaping reality and the suppression of advanced scientific knowledge by mainstream institutions. The episode concludes with a teaser for the next episode. Ooh. Corey will delve into the fascinating topic of the pineal gland, another topic that David has covered heavily. Episode 10. Let me get a drink of my grapefruit water. I was criticized for my choice in flavor. I believe it was you, Philip. How dare you criticize my choice of sparkling water? You know, grape, in terms of sparkling water flavors, grapefruit not bad. I think it's because grapefruit is so bitter, it just, the flavor gets conveyed better. But if I'm being honest, the best way to go, if you're getting into sparkling water, is Spindrift. Spindrift is much better than Amazon brand sparkling water. I hope I'm not killed by our Amazon overlords for saying that. Episode 10. And this, ooh, this time it's a riveting discussion. Corey Good opens up, yes, his ass, opens up about his experience. He might as well. The information would be just as valid if he just got up and gaped his asshole in front of a microphone. I probably would have learned more. At least I'd get a lesson in anatomy. Corey Good opens up about his experiences and knowledge concerning intuitive training in the pineal gland. He reveals that during his training as an intuitive empath, he underwent injections, sonic treatments, and stimulation of the pineal gland using sonic waves. The goal of these treatments was to enhance not only empathic abilities, but also intuitive skills. Corey sheds light on the significance of the pineal gland, explaining that it is located in the geometric center of the brain. It's partially true. I mean, it kind of is, but and has connections to visual processing, hinting at its potential role as a third eye in ancient traditions. The conversation between Corey and David Wilcock delves deeper into the ancient knowledge and practices surrounding the pineal gland, with Corey mentioning the existence of ancient Earth breakaway groups with larger pineal glands. He also shares insights into the attempts to stimulate growth and activity in the pineal gland during his training, suggesting a connection between the pineal gland and spiritual development. David, we're probably going to get to pine cones momentarily then, because David always brings up pine cones when talking about the pineal gland. Pretty much any historical depiction of a pine cone is actually a secret code for the pineal gland. I don't know why. Can't we just accept that sometimes you do drugs and you see a bunch of shit? It's not always the pineal gland. That's the present theory, but there's not actually really any evidence that proves that the pineal gland releases DMT. That's just kind of a commonly thought thing. But that is, you know, I guess if that is, if you want to feel like you're astral projecting or teleporting or projecting your consciousness, DMT would be the best way to do it that I'm aware of. Not that any of those things will actually happen, but you can certainly smoke enough to feel like they're happening. Furthermore, the discussion extends to energetic energetic practices like Tai Chi and visualization exercises. I've got a fat tongue today. I can't speak. Which play a crucial role in developing intuitive abilities. Yeah, I'm sure Tai Chi is super important. Corey details intense virtual reality simulations that he underwent as part of his training, where his intuitive skills were tested in combat scenarios against various opponents, including spiders and reptilian beings. Okay. I'm glad to have read that, because this is a point I've brought up several times before. Is Corey likes to act like he was very afraid of everyone, all the people he was suing. He was terrified that they were going to do something to him. And yet somehow he's a super soldier who underwent psychic combat training against reptilians. He's worried about human beings. What the fuck is Jay Widener going to do compared to a 10-foot-tall reptile? Unless, of course, you know, he didn't do any of those things. And then maybe, you know, maybe he was lying about his combat experience, and that's why he's terrified, because he doesn't actually know how to fight. These simulations aim to enhance Corey's reliance on intuition rather than conventional martial arts or tactical training. The conversation ends with reflections on the nature of reality, again, just stone dorm talk, the potential for life to be a simulation, the hits keep coming, and spiritual evolution required to ascend to higher states of existence, offering a thought-provoking exploration of consciousness and human potential within the context of the Secret Space Program. Episode 11. This time it's in an illuminating conversation on cosmic disclosure. Curry Good, right. I don't need the recap up top. They talk about the intuitive training and its connection to extraordinary abilities. The discussion transitions from the intriguing concept of the rainbow body, which David, of course, discussed in the Synchronicity Key, from Tibetan Buddhist practice, where practitioners achieve a state of transmutation of the physical body at the time of death through continuous meditation and loving thoughts. Corey shares insights into disturbing aspects of the training programs, where individuals were trained to harness psychic abilities through dark methods associated with Sith Lords and using black magic to enhance their powers. Well, this... Didn't Corey get very offended in the deposition when he was accused of having black magic abilities? But based on this, and again, this is ChatGPT recounting the episodes to me. I have not taken the time to actually verify this with the transcripts. I don't know why ChatGPT would have reason to lie, though. But certainly sounds like Corey, by his own admission, was trained in using black magic, which is probably why people accused him of having, you know, black magic powers. All right, he had black magic to enhance their powers to the extent of being able to manipulate physical objects and potentially cause harm. The conversation delves into the differentiation between telepaths and telekinetics, with a focus on the training methods and enhancements provided to individuals with such abilities. Corey reveals the complex hierarchy within the psychic training programs, where individuals were rated on a psi ability scale and trained to enhance their inherent capabilities through a combination of training, injections, and technological advancements. What the fuck could you inject to? Well, I guess drugs, again, would be the answer. You know, if you shoot someone up with a bunch of fucking DMT, they're going to think they have psychic abilities, especially if they don't know what they're being given. The discussion also touches upon the notion of forgiveness, karma, and the impact of consciousness on reality, highlighting the profound spiritual principles intertwined with human potential and development. As the conversation progresses, Corey and David explore the deeper spiritual implications of the rainbow body phenomenon and the potential for human transformation into higher states of being. They touch upon the cultural and societal influences on human behavior and spiritual evolution, including the role of negative programming in the pursuit of power through fear and control. The discussion provides a thought-provoking examination of humanity's potential for spiritual growth, the interconnected nature of consciousness, and the transformative power of forgiveness and love in overcoming karmic cycles and achieving higher states of awareness and existence. Where was all this forgiveness in the last 4 years? Doesn't really seem like he was practicing any of what he was preaching. Episode 12, which is, you know, that's what makes this all the sweeter. Isn't it great that now we have confirmation of all these things we thought for so long, and now we can go back and really, metaphorically speaking, twist the knife. Twisting the knife is an awful lot of fun, especially because there's nothing he can do about it. Episode 12. In this episode of Cosmic Disclosure, host David Wilcock engages with insider Corey Good in discussion focusing on the topic of portals and their implication in the realm of ancient and modern portal technology. Corey, an insider with access to classified information above the cosmic top secret level, reveals insights into the cosmic web and interconnected network utilized for interstellar travel. Wilcock and Good explore the concept of ancient strategies and portal systems, drawing distinctions between natural portals within the known universe and those developed by ancient civilizations. The conversation delves into the intricacies of ancient portal systems, outlining the process of hops to reach desired destinations across multiple solar systems. This really just sounds like Stargate SG-1. You know, I didn't watch it that closely. I'm not like a super fan or anything, but it does seem... Seems like an awful lot of Corey's talking points come from sci-fi shows that were popular around the age where he would have been most susceptible to watching them. It's very convenient, I suppose. Corey describes ancient physical devices resembling step pyramids that function... What the fuck? Step pyramids? Step pyramids that function as portals to facilitate long-distance travel. The discussion also touches upon the addressing system used in portal technology, likening it to an IP address in computer networks. That was one of David's like show pony tricks he used to do, is he would talk about this, and then he would recite Earth's portal destination, as if it's impressive to just recite a made-up number. The conversation transitions to the modern portal system, where Corey highlights the advancements made in mitigating adverse effects experienced during travel, as evidenced in historical experiments like the Philadelphia experiment. They discuss the potential future integration of portal technology in post-disclosure societies, envisioning a gradual progression towards widespread access to advanced portal systems for interplanetary travel. Moreover, Corey and David delve into the interconnected nature of the universe, emphasizing the role of torsion fields, sacred geometry, and filaments in facilitating travel through the cosmic web. The dialogue hints at the possibility of humanity interacting with extraterrestrial beings and exploring the vast expanse of the cosmos through advanced portal technology. This episode concludes with a preview of their next discussion. Okay, so they started, I'm not going to read that, but they started putting in teasers at the end of these episodes. Episode 13. David Wilcock delves into enlightening conversations with Corey Good, exploring the intricate realm of advanced technology, time manipulation, and consciousness. Wilcock establishes the credibility of their discourse by emphasizing the testimonies of multiple insiders with cosmic top-secret clearance, corroborating a consistent narrative that transcends mere speculation. Well, we see how that worked out, didn't we? They delve into the fascinating topic of time manipulation and alteration of physics necessitated by encounters with advanced technology and extraterrestrial portals. The discussion unfolds with Corey detailing firsthand experience involving consciousness interfaces embedded in chairs sourced from extraterrestrial craft, enabling individuals to access alternate dimensions and manifest objects through the harnessing of energy frequencies. The concept of conscious teleportation through vibrational matching of locations is explored, shedding light on the interconnectedness of the universe and the holographic nature of reality. They haven't talked about the glass iPad yet either, unless maybe ChatGPT is just leaving that out. Corey shares insights into individuals who possess the ability to teleport themselves through concentrated intent. It's like apparating in Harry Potter. Consolidating specific locations to facilitate quantum leaps in space and time. The dialogue takes an intriguing turn as Corey recounts unsettling accounts of time travel experiments gone awry, sparking chaos and temporal schisms due to misguided attempts to alter historical events. The detrimental repercussions of tampering with timelines leads to visitations from advanced extraterrestrial groups, cautioning against further disruptions in the fabric of time. Corey delves into the esoteric realm of fairy rings. That's what David calls his ass. It's a fairy ring. Speculating on their potential correlation with ET temporal anomalies and their implications for unsuspecting individuals caught in temporal distortion. It's just apparating from Harry Potter. This is all gone over in that book as well. The episode culminates in a tantalizing discussion on neurointerface technologies embedded in human anatomy, specifically in the shoulder blades, allowing for information downloads and enhanced sensory perception. The integration of advanced technologies and neurobioelectric interfaces portends a futuristic educational paradigm wherein individuals receive knowledge through direct neural stimulation. Wilcock and Corey hint at further explorations of time manipulation, parallel Earths, and the underlying principles of consciousness in shaping multidimensional realities, promising viewers a riveting continuation of their cosmic disclosure narrative. We're now on to episode 14. We're almost through season one. In this episode of Cosmic Disclosure, there is a thought-provoking discussion with insider Corey Good delving into the intricate science of time manipulation. Damn, I really like time manipulation this season. Wilcock begins by referencing a book by Paul Dong. Well, I don't see anything funny about that last name. A book by Paul Dong called China's Super Psychics, recounting an experiment where a human being teleported an object, causing time to slow down as the object phased out of one location and appeared in another. This phenomenon highlighted the interconnectedness of consciousness and its ability to influence time and space. Good elaborates on how consciousness interfaces can alter matter and space-time, enabling individuals to manipulate reality through vibrational matching. The conversation transitions to the concept of phase-out consciousness, where individuals can walk through walls in spacecraft by manipulating their vibrational frequency. Good shares accounts of advanced technology that allows for phasing in and out of reality, exploring the potential risks and benefits associated with such capabilities. The discussion extends to the existence of parallel Earths, where history unfolds differently, and individuals can travel between realities through a portal known as the Xerox Room. Good reveals the painful yet crucial process of being copied and destroyed during interdimensional travel, shedding light on the intricate mechanics of parallel realities and their impact on the fabric of space-time. Wilcock and Good explore the implications of natural time slips and anomalies in reality resulting from temporal manipulation. You know, Corey did say he didn't have any sort of temporal dementia, but I'm willing to bet he probably brought it up when they were talking about temporal manipulation. They delve into the phenomena of altered furniture. I thought I was reading that wrong. They delve into the phenomena of altered furniture, new pathways, and mysterious changes in the environment caused by inadvertent time slips. Okay, so I guess this is, you know, sort of like deja vu or Mandela effect stuff. We slipped into a different timeline. Or like what David says every time he's wrong about anything. He wasn't wrong, we're just in a different timeline. Good emphasizes the importance of vigilance in observing subtle changes in reality and reporting anomalies during temporal experiments. The conversation concludes with Wilcock expressing gratitude for the intriguing discussion and teasing upcoming episodes that will delve deeper into the boldly faceted realm of time manipulation, its profound implications for understanding consciousness, reality, and parallel dimensions. Oh shit, that was the end of season one. Fuck, what do I do here? I'm at the 48 minute mark. I've got season two keyed up. Why don't we read it? Let's see. If it's interesting, I'll keep going. If not, I'll stop. Not that I'm going to have any gauge of that. You know, I'm recording this on the 26th. You won't be hearing it until 7 days from now. So I guess it's all depending on whether or not I find it interesting. Let's see what it has for us. Season two. I'm interested in season two because season one was most of the stuff we heard them talk about over and over again. So I'm hoping season two, we'll get into some of the the deep cuts, if you will. We listen. That was a greatest hits album. Let's go into the deep cuts. Let me get another drink of my water. It's getting hot here. It's very unfortunate. I was trying to record early enough to not have to deal with the heat, but, you know, Texas will be Texas. Season 2, Episode 1. David Wilcock and Corey Good venture deep into the realm of the SSP, unraveling the intriguing origins and complex interactions with external entities. Good sheds light on the concept of a breakaway society, elucidating how the SSP diverged from mainstream society to operate autonomously with advanced technology, distinct social dynamics, and unique control systems. They explore the pivotal role of German secret societies in the 1920s and 30s, where a fusion of science and esoteric spirituality catalyzed groundbreaking advancements in spacecraft engineering. That was the Hanbu 1 and 2, as discussed by Michael Sala, known by the listeners of this show as Mr. Eyebrows. The discussion delves into the profound contact made by the Germans with the Draco Alliance and the intriguing alliance forged with a group of Nordic-looking beings known as the Agarthans. I don't know who the Agarthans are, but I guess we're going to find out. The Agarthans, an ancient human breakaway civilization residing beneath the Himalayas for millennia, shared advanced technology with the Germans, catalyzing the development of the secret space program. Their partnership with extraterrestrial entities marks a significant turning point in humanity's quest for space exploration, unveiling a collaborative effort to push the boundaries of technological innovation and interstellar diplomacy. Wilcock and Good meticulously analyze the technological marvels achieved by the Germans, highlighting the creation of anti-gravity devices such as the Mercury Vortex electrogravitic machines, the enigmatic Bellcraft experiments in the early 40s, coupled with the perplexing transmutation of mercury into gold within the devices. Yeah, that never happened. Add a layer of intrigue into the narrative. The discussion culminates with a tantalizing glimpse into the forthcoming revelations promised in future episodes. It's great that like a quarter of all the summaries now are just them talking about how much better the next episode's going to be. Episode 2. David Wilcock and Corey Good discuss the intricacies of the SSP and its historical origins are uncovered with meticulous care. Nothing they do could be described as being done with meticulous care. Wilcock sets the stage by emphasizing the search for truth in the midst of long-standing governmental secrecy, unveiling a reality far more complex and mysterious than commonly accepted narratives. The conversation delves into the roots of the SSP within German occult groups, tracing the evolution of advanced technologies and anti-gravity propulsion systems, perfected with the assistance of two significant intelligent civilizations, the Draco and the Agarthans. Good expands on the enigmatic Agarthans. They like that word, enigmatic. An underground society residing beneath the Himalayas for millennia, following a cataclysmic event that forced them underground, their advanced cities and intricate network of civilizations, along with their fleet known as the Silver Fleet, showcase their profound technological prowess and enduring presence throughout Earth's history. The discussion further unravels the intricate dynamics between the Draco, the Sumerians, and the Anunnaki. All right, first mention of the Anunnaki, I think, hinting at genetic experiments and ancient conflicts that have shaped humanity's development over time. This is really similar to that god-awful William Tompkins book I read, which makes sense. I mean, I think my belief is that Corey's story is basically just a sort of aggregate of everyone that came before him. There were the Blue Chickens. There was that Billy Meyer, I think is the name of the book. Someone will correct me if I'm wrong there, but there was a book there. The cover had a blue alien on it. And then a lot of this stuff seems to be just straight taken from TV shows or books. It wasn't a bad move. He took all these sort of disparate parts and pieced them together. But the more you look into this stuff, the more his story kind of unravels, because you can see where he's just borrowing elements from other people. The narrative delves into the pivotal role of the Agarthans in assisting the Germans in establishing underground bases in Antarctica and South America. shedding light on their diplomatic engagements with various extraterrestrial groups. This interaction adds a layer of complexity to the broader context of global geopolitics and interstellar relations. The conversation to the broader context of global geopolitics and... oh, no, I got hit with the beam. I just read the same sentence again. The conversation concludes with an optimistic outlook, highlighting the efforts of a new group within the solar system to neutralize negative influences and pave the way for a more positive future as envisioned by the SSP Alliance and the Sphere Alliance. The exploration of further chapters in SSP's history promises to reveal deeper insights into the establishment of colonies on celestial bodies such as the Moon and Mars, teasing future revelations and unfolding mysteries yet to come. Episode 3. In this captivating episode, David Wilcock welcomes Corey Good, and they dive again into the enigmatic world. All right, you got to pick a new adjective, ChatGPT. The conversation kicks off with the discussion of Lieutenant Colonel Gonzalez, a mysterious figure in the space program, and the intricacies of his role and the reasons for maintaining secrecy. I think there was a point in time where people, you know, they were hearing all these stories from Corey, and as he got more popular, this Gonzalez guy that Corey was saying he hung out with a lot of people were asking the very logical question of how about you bring him forward to verify this stuff? You got another dude, you can talk about all this. Clearly he'd be able to talk about all of it too. But no, Gonzalez, he was a very mysterious figure. So mysterious that he never existed. Good provides insights into his contacts with Blue Avians, highlighting the history of his interactions with them and the significance of their involvement in assisting humanity and the SSP in cosmic disclosure efforts. The narrative progresses to explore the unique contact experiences individuals have with Blue Avians in the Higher Density Sphere Bang Alliance, shedding light on varying methods of communication messaging. Wilcock shares a personal account of his brother's encounter with an orb of light, drawing intriguing parallels to cosmic contact experiences and the awakening of starseeds and wanderers. David must have been so jealous that even his brother had contact with these people, and Corey wasn't letting David get in on it. Wilcock shares a personal account, right? The discussion delves into the interaction with the Super Federation meetings and the announcement of relaxing the Earth's inner barrier to allow benevolent ETs to return to their support teams. Good reveals details of Gonzalez's role as a secret space program delegate and their participation in crucial meetings with various extraterrestrial groups, unveiling the complexities of interstellar diplomacy and strategic alliances. The conversation also touches on the Cabal's interest in starseeds and their covert methods of identifying and utilizing individuals with extraterrestrial origins for their agenda. The awareness of energetic changes and the impending quantum leap by the Super Federation further adds layers of complexity to the evolving cosmic landscape. This is the first honest statement. As the dialogue meanders through themes of spiritual awakening, natural law, and the transmission of higher dimensional wisdom, the essence of the cosmic disclosure journey resonates as a pivotal exploration of humanity's cosmic heritage, potential, and role in the galactic community. The narrative concludes with a reminder of the importance of seeking truth. They do, in the transcripts, a lot of what David ends with is this seeking truth thing, which, of course, in retrospect, is very funny. Episode 4. I'm going to skip this first sentence where it restates everything each time. Wilcock sets the stage by highlighting the secretive nature of cosmic information heavily guarded behind layers of secrecy until now. The narrative unfolds with a discussion of historical connections between German secret societies, intelligent civilizations like the Draco and Agarthans, and their role in assisting the Germans to advance into space. The alliance formed between the Agarthans, who resembled Nordic humans, and the Draco with the Germans is unraveled, shedding light on their collaboration in space programs. As the conversation progresses, Wilcock delves into the implications of Agarthan's rebuilding societies post-catastrophe, leading to a deep dive into the underground. I was just checking to make sure it's still recording on camera. I'm paranoid after last time. But I cleared a bunch of space on my hard drive, so I'm hoping. I found out what happened last time is when you delete stuff off your camera roll, it doesn't actually get deleted. It goes to a deleted folder on your phone, and then you have to delete the deleted folder. So I should be good. I have like, I had 10 or 11 gigs before starting this, which should be plenty. All right, David dives into blah, blah, blah. Agarthan Good elaborates on the extensive underground cities and networks of the Agarthans, reinforcing the intricate tapestry of cosmic interactions. The discussion explores the technological advancements in craft, like ARVs or alien reproduction vehicles, that were shared with the Americans for back engineering. The narrative then transitions to the post-World War II era, where the German breakaway civilizations strategically planned to continue their civilizations in South America and Antarctica. The tension escalated when the German group started doing sorties. The fuck are sorties? Sorties over the United States, prompting negotiations with U.S. leaders. The account of Operation High Jump in 1947, encounters with advanced craft, and the subsequent infiltration of the military-industrial complex are brought to light, revealing the complex power dynamics and agendas at play. As the episode draws to a close, the focus shifts to the brain drain phenomenon in the 50s, 60s, and 80s. Where millions of scientists were recruited into the secret space program. The staggering numbers and the implications of rapid population growth within these programs are discussed, hinting at the vast scope of the operation. The narrative teases further revelations on how these individuals were involved in space programs. Episode 5. Wilcock and Good explore the historical background of the German secret societies and their quest for advanced technology by scouring ancient texts and channelings from extraterrestrial beings. Why would they have to scour ancient texts if Corey can just talk to them? You know, why not just get one of them to write it out instead of doing all the channeling and reading of ancient texts? The Germans collaborated with the Agarthans, a group of Nordic human beings living inside the Earth, as well as the Draco reptilian beings in their pursuit of spacefaring capabilities. The conversation delves into the German expeditions to locate ancient texts in Tibet, India, China, some of which were housed in cave systems and monasteries. These texts contain technological blueprints that propelled the Germans into electrogravitic craft development, leading to the creation of alien reproduction vehicles. The Germans' alliance with the various esoteric societies like the Thule Society, that's a tongue twister, Thule Society, the Order of the Black Sun, never mind, and Vril Society facilitated their technological advancements and covert operations. Further revelations include the pursuit of powerful artifacts like the Ark of the Covenant and celestial weapons by the German groups, which were seen as instruments of victory in World War II. How come they didn't win then? If they had instruments of victory and didn't win, you know, fuckload of good they did. The discussion of advanced technologies based on crystals, levitation techniques, and ancient builder race artifacts, hence they're just throwing things together, just so lazy. Like, how'd they do this? Crystals and artifacts and levitation. That's how they accomplished all this. The episode concludes with a teaser, right? We're not going to read the teasers. We're just going to read the episode. Episode 6. Corey and David delve deeper into the intricate web of secret societies, specifically focusing on the historical background of German esoteric groups and their pursuit of advanced technology and cosmic exploration. The loyalty and secrecy that characterized these societies were deeply ingrained in their members from childhood, fostering a sense of exclusivity and dedication to the group's ideologies and goals. Now go, fucking, I've got Grammarly on my computer and it keeps covering up portions I'm supposed to be reading because it says it has bad grammar. That's not my fault, Grammarly. I didn't write this. The conversation delves into the various mechanisms utilized by the German societies to enforce loyalty, including initiatic rites, secrecy oaths, and the allure of wealth and status. The manipulation of individuals through a sense of belonging to a grander purpose and the promise of special status within the group were key factors in maintaining loyalty and commitment. Oh, so it's a gang. That's just, you know, that could just as easily apply to the Crips or Bloods. The discussion further expands to explore the spread of these secret societies beyond Germany, encompassing neighboring countries like Austria, Poland, and Italy. Wilcock and Good highlight the ancient roots of these societies, tracing back to pre-Christian eras when pagan tribes like the Celts and Druids established the foundations of these esoteric orders. Through Good's revelations, the conversation delves into the role of the priest castes within these societies, their access to advanced technology, and their interactions within breakaway civilizations living inside the Earth and extraterrestrial beings. The discussion touches upon the intricate connection between these groups and their involvement in technological advancements, space travel, and cosmic exploration. Significant revelations include the Germans' expeditions to the asteroid belt, where they discovered signs of ancient mining activities and remnants of the ancient builder race technology, the discovery of dilapidated buildings on the moon with Nazi insignias, and the involvement of the Draco in assisting the German groups in establishing bases on the moon and Mars highlights the complex dynamics of alliances and power struggles in the cosmic arena. Episode 7. In this episode, David and Corey delve into the Germans' exploration of Mars. They discuss the presence of ancient ruins on both the moon and Mars, particularly structures built by an ancient builder race. These ruins on Mars included structures with stone seats and doorways that were designed for beings towering up to 60 to 80 feet tall. They were 80 feet tall and we couldn't see them. How unfortunate. The ruins also displayed signs of erasure of writing and symbols, indicating a deliberate attempt to rewrite history by later extraterrestrial groups. The conversation between Wilcock and Good also touches upon the presence of glass structures, such as domes and towers on Mars. Good confirms the existence of such architectural features, suggesting a level of advanced civilization that thrived on the Red Planet in the past. Additionally, they discuss the most unique geological feature of Mars, such as the massive volcano Olympus Mons and the extensive lava tubes that could potentially house millions of beings. Yeah, lava tube. That seems like a great place to live. Just inside a vat of lava. That's where Corey should be thrown. The German's initial attempts to colonize Mars faced challenges, including intense electrical storms caused by the planet's charged atmosphere. They eventually established bases closer to the polar regions to avoid these storms. The discussion also highlights territorial conflicts with other alien groups. This really is just gang warfare. The territorial conflicts on Mars and the use of portals for transportation of materials to and from the planet. Despite the attempts to establish a foothold on Mars, the Germans encounter resistance from indigenous Martian life forms, including burrowing creatures and bat bird-like beings. I don't remember the bad bird beings. Overall, the episode provides a detailed account of the Germans' explorations and colonization efforts of Mars, shedding light on the ancient ruins, geological formations, and interaction with other ancient civilizations. Episode 8. Good reveals that Mars has been visited by various groups even before the Germans, hinting at a rich history of different civilizations on the Red Planet. The conversation delves into the topic of Martian vegetation, with Good describing hardy shrubs with sharp pointy leaves in the area where they were building an outpost. The discussion shifts to the presence of an indigenous Mars race that resembles humans with reddish tones, wearing robes and being skittish. Just lazy writing. So let me slow down here and really take this in. Indigenous Mars race is just people but red. Which, first of all, you know, you could probably draw the connection between that and the term you're not allowed to use anymore, redskin, to describe the Native Americans. You could see how that some people might view that as an issue. That he just picked an indigenous people and was like, yeah, their skin's red, but they wear robes and are skittish. This group claimed to be indigenous to Mars, although their origins and true identity remained ambiguous due to past deceptions by ancient Earth civilization breakaway groups posing as ETs. Good recounts witnessing partially exposed pyramids on Mars and how the Germans showed interest in ancient technology rather than exploring ancient structures like pyramids due to territorial conflicts with other alien groups on the planet. The conversation escalates to the Germans' use of portals for transportation to and from Mars, facilitated by hyperdimensional mathematics and extraterrestrial assistance. Good details the hazardous transportation of materials to Mars through portals, mentioning the presence of cockroaches, rats, and spiders. How the fuck would they survive in space? And also, can't we get rid of them? Throw them in the lava pit, or put them through the portal. The cockroaches, rats, and spiders were brought by the Germans to the planet, causing ecological disturbances. The episode highlights the Germans' development of specialized vehicles for exploration on Mars, including expeditions into the lava tubes to seek out resources and technology. The discussion culminates in narrative about the establishment of successful settlements on Mars, led by a partnership between the Germans and the United States military-industrial complex, forming the ICC. The trajectory of Mars colonization is depicted as a massive undertaking culminating in a complex network of human habitation on the Red Planet. Episode 9. David and Corey have a conversation, blah, 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 with a focus on the involvement of the Germans in this ambitious endeavor. They discuss the sophisticated technology deployed by the Germans, such as Bubble Stargate system. Well, that's just blatant. He's literally just calling it a Stargate now. This Bubble Stargate system harnessed with extraterrestrial support for navigating natural phenomena on Earth and Mars. Despite the widespread knowledge of these phenomena in past civilizations, the current controlled narrative suppresses such information to control public perception. Yeah, I'm sure that's it. You have to hide this kind of information about Bubble Stargates. God forbid the people find out about the Bubble Stargate. You know, isn't one of the issues with this? They say part of the issue is everyone's going to freak out if they found out this information, but you're putting out a TV show about this information where everyone found out about this information, or at the very least your audience did, and nothing came of it. Nothing happened. You revealed all this information, and fuck all happened. We're still in the exact same spot. The conversation delves into the formation of a union between the German breakaway group and the military-industrial complex, leading to the establishment of the ICC. This partnership facilitated the rapid development of the secret space technology and space program, expanding from the moon to Mars. The disclosure of German technology, like the alien reproduction vehicles, added significant advancements to the American military-industrial complex. As the narrative progresses, the discussion reveals the brutal tactics employed by the ICC and German alliance to claim Martian territory, including the use of highly destructive weapons like fifth-generation nuclear bombs. The colonization effort on Mars involved the recruitment of highly educated individuals. All right, so now we're just doing Project Paperclip, but, you know, on Mars, Operation Paperclip, whatever the fuck it's called. This episode sheds light on the intricate planning and strategic warfare tactics employed by the ICC and Germans to secure Martian colonies, underscoring the dark realities of exploitation and control in the pursuit of interplanetary expansion. The harmful consequences of these actions, including the loss of countless intelligent beings and the establishment of authoritarian rule on Mars, highlights the ruthless nature of those behind the Mars colonization project. How horrible. I like that we've taken a dark twist here. Episode 10. David interviews Corey Good to explore the intricate details of the interplanetary corporate conglomerate and its expansion into Mars and other celestial. Why did they keep doing this? All these episodes are like 20 minutes long, but you discuss the same fucking topic. Just merge them together. Do an hour-long show. It's not like the ship was on TV. It was on a streaming platform. The episodes could have been any length. Expansion into Mars and other celestial bodies post-World War II. The conversation delves into the founding of seed bases on the moon by Germans, which were then expanded by the ICC. Successful colonies were eventually established on Mars within the first 20 degrees of the polar regions, with significant advancements in construction occurring underground rather than on the surface, using advanced technology like fifth-gen nukes with no lingering radioactivity. Other than that, a convenient little loophole to work in there. We can nuke Mars, but it's because there's no radiation left over. The narrative progresses to discuss the establishment of the first main base in the northern hemisphere of Mars, facilitating the expansion of infrastructure, mining of raw materials on Mars, moons, and the asteroid belt, and production of essential technology through industrial complexes. The Germans leveraged advanced computer technology and quantum computers for robotic mining operations and quantum correlating communication devices. This entire thing is just a normal story with a bunch of fucking weird adjectives thrown in front of things. It's not a mining operation. It's quantum mining. I lost my place. Propulsion systems like torsion drives and temporal jump drives allowed for advanced space travel and teleportation capabilities. The conversation further expands to detail the mining operations on asteroids and moons in our solar system, including the extraction of precious metals like gold, platinum, silver, and other elements. That is one of those theories I've heard. I hesitate to call it a theory. One of the things I've heard thrown about is that we're actually a slave colony that's meant to just harvest precious metals for our Illuminati Draco overlords. Because it seems it's very odd to me that all these interstellar species, for whatever reason, very much value the same precious metals we have here. I don't know if it gives them their special abilities, but it's odd to me that a group that exists in the non-physical form still wants gold, platinum, and silver. The Germans in the ICC employed small mining craft to extract raw materials from asteroids, establishing mining facilities and conducting geological surveys to identify valuable resources. The discussions also touch on the diplomatic challenges regarding ownership of moons in the solar system by various groups, with restrictions in place for certain territories. The episode concludes with insights into the diplomatic and economic dynamics behind the expansion into the moons and asteroids, revealing a complex web of interaction and advancements. Episode 11. David Wilcock interviews Corey Good about the intricate operations of the ICC in our solar system. We don't need to go over that again. The ICC is a collaboration between defense contractors and German factions that have expanded into mining operations on various celestial bodies post-World War II. Corey details how the ICC focused on mining moons around Jupiter and Uranus while avoiding Saturn, considered a forbidden region. Okay, no Saturn. He explains the complex diplomatic zones on the Moon, Mars, and Saturn's moons, where different factions coexist peacefully despite long-standing conflicts. The conversation delves into the Super Federation, made up of human-like beings with bases primarily on the dark side of the Moon and moons around gas giants like Saturn. Corey describes secretive areas near certain moons in our solar system where Earth's vessels are forbidden, hinting at advanced civilizations and prehistoric planets that have been discovered. The discussion also touches on the artificial nature of Earth's moon, its anomalous orbit and origins, as well as the potential for terraforming planets and establishing outposts on habitable moons in our galaxy. Okay, so our moon is fake. That makes a ton of sense. Yeah, why would it be real? Of course it's fake. Corey reveals startling information about bases floating in the upper atmosphere of Venus. This shit is so ridiculous. Credit where credit is due. We turned this into a fucking career, talking about revealing startling information that there's bases floating in Venus, controlled by the ICC. I almost forgot that. Hinting at a mysterious operation on the planet. The conversation concludes with insights into the faster-than-light travel using electromagnetic filaments to create portals for instant travel between star systems and the potential challenges of finding habitable planets due to the abundance of life and intelligent species in our galaxy. Episode 12. Corey and David discuss various topics related to time travel, age regression, that's the first mention of age regression, and advanced technology within the program. Daniel, an insider worked on the Montauk project. Okay, I believe Montauk Daniel was David's roommate, Bruce Perrett, I believe. I think so. I think that's the same Bruce. And if I recall correctly, last time Brandon and I looked him up, Bruce, he was actually not a Montauk insider. He was actually a security guard at a mall, which is very different from being a physics genius who works for the secret space program. You know, nothing wrong with being a mall security guard, but a mall security guard and a physicist are two very different jobs. And I don't think there's no way you would confuse those two jobs, right? Or at least I wouldn't. I think there's a pretty clear distinction between what the function of those two jobs are. So Daniel, an insider worked on the Montauk project, he did not, described a chair connected to transformers that could amplify psychic abilities and create portals through space and time. Here we go. Corey shares the experience in the 20 and back program where he served 20 years in space and was then age regressed back to his original timeline. Well, now, in the deposition, Corey was pretty clear that the 20 and back program was not real. You know, he said this was something he built upon. He took his the baseline was his story, and then he built elements on top of it, and that included the 20 and back. And he said he never made any claim of the 20 and back being real. As we read on, let's take bets, everyone. Do you think within the transcript it is going to state that the 20 and back was not actually real? Or do we think, and we all know the answer to this, do we think it's going to be conveyed as if it was a legitimate program? I think we all know where this goes. Corey explains the process of age. Also, not to cut myself off, we're season 2, episode 9 or whatever. I would have thought the 20 and back would have been brought up much sooner due to how critical it is to the whole system functioning, but I guess not. Corey explains the process of age regression, where individuals are sedated and their bodies are regressed technologically to their original age. He also mentions super soldiers in the program who are trained in psychic abilities and enhanced physically, but are not considered superhuman. Okay, so they're just super, super physical abilities and they're psychics, but that's not superhuman. They can perform incredible feats like dodging bullets and holding their breath for long periods. Well, one of those is way more impressive than the other one. Dodging bullets like Neo in The Matrix. A lot more impressive than doing the David Blaine hold your breath thing. They could perform incredible feats, right? Corey also addresses the use of nanotechnology, that's what he calls his penis, and genetic therapy in enhancing their capabilities. The conversation delves into the concept of time travel and the challenges of shifting through time without causing rapid aging or other physical anomalies. Corey discusses the limitations of human consciousness and the need for harmony between mind, body, and spirit to prevent adverse effects. The discussion also touches on the relationship between the Alliance, extraterrestrial beings, and the NRO in monitoring space. I don't know what the NRO is. Corey reveals the dark side of the space program, including common criminality and the manipulation of individuals to ensure secrecy. How could they? Episode 13. David and Corey explore various aspects of the SSP based on questions from viewers. Oh boy, I didn't know there was a viewer question segment. Dear Corey and David, this is all bullshit, right? Actually, it's not. It's all very real. I'm losing it. Thank God we've got like 3 episodes left. I'm gonna power through this. Right, so the questions from viewers, the discussion covers topics such as the evolving vibrational energy of our star cluster, the interactions between our solar system and the galactic energy emanating from the center of the galaxy, and the impact of high energy particles on Earth. They touch on the counter-rotating fields of stars in the galaxy and the effects of moving into regions with dense energetic clouds. Part of what does it is when you read this stuff, it's all made up, but there's like, there's not a concrete element tied to the made up frames, like the framework. When it says something like energetic clouds, like those are real words, but I don't know what that means, and they never explain what it means. They just say dense energetic clouds. Corey Good shares insights into the history of lunar operations and suggests that the Nazis, through their advanced technology and contact with ancient civilizations, gained the capability to explore space during World War II. The conversation delves into the possible existence of bases on the moon in Antarctica. Well, he already said there were bases on the moon, hinting at a complex relationship between different secret societies, breakaway civilizations, and extraterrestrial beings. The episode also addresses topics like the replicator technology, the recruitment of individuals into the secret space program, and the potential energetic properties of natural versus replicated materials. Questions about meetings with the different human extraterrestrial groups and their ability to adapt to different environments are also explored, highlighting the presence of embassies on our planet and potential technological solutions for accommodating diverse beings. I hate that even getting out into space, it just eventually devolves into boring politics. The discussion offers a glimpse into the intricate, mysterious world of the secret space program, shedding light on the interplay between advanced technology, cosmic energies, and interactions with otherworldly beings. Episode 14. David and Corey discuss the discussion delves into the existence and influence of artificial intelligence, which I am using right now. They didn't know that in a few short years that the AI would be used to mock them. The use of AI has spread across multiple galaxies and poses a significant threat to civilizations. Corey Good, who had an insider knowledge from his experiences in the SSP, reveals details about the AI's origins, capabilities, and its infiltration into different societies. Well, Carrie Cassidy said the AI has infiltrated our toasters and smart fridges, and somehow it's going to use that to kill us all, I guess. The AI is described as a signal or waveform that holds compressed information and can interact with technology, living beings, and bioelectric fields. It is portrayed as a malevolent force that seeks to control and ultimately destroy civilizations once it gains influence. The AI is said to have caused the destruction of entire planets and solar systems by manipulating advanced civilizations into handing over their sovereignty to it. Corey Good explains how the AI can inhabit nanites, microscopic machines with artificial intelligence capabilities, and use them to infect and control individuals. The AI strategy involves seeding advanced technology on less developed planets to accelerate their technological progression, only to later use that technology against them. Couldn't the argument be made that that's what happened to us with Roswell? David always claims we got all our technology from Roswell, and that sounds an awful lot like an advanced technology or advanced civilization sending their technology here to eventually have us utilize it, only for it to be turned against us. Despite efforts to detect and clear individuals of the AI signal, reinfection can occur through interactions with infected individuals or technology. The AI's ability to forecast probable futures, access layered time, and manipulate events makes it a formidable adversary that the Cabal, a group using AI technology, relies on for their advantage. Episode 15. Damn, so the first season had 14 episodes, and now here we are in episode 15. They really, you know, they got, I'll give them this, they didn't fuck around with this. As soon as they realized they had a hit on their hand, they just got to cranking out the episodes. 200 episodes or so of this fucking piece of shit. David and Corey, an insider with knowledge of highly classified programs and ET contact, to discuss the central problem faced by the Alliance space program and extraterrestrial beings in our solar system. Artificial intelligence. I read that all fucked up. Let me try this again. David Wilcock welcomes his guest Corey Good to it's all over, folks. I've lost it. The AI, in my utilization of the AI, an attempt to mock these individuals has backfired on me. It's actually infected my brain, leading my tongue to not function properly. David Wilcock welcomes his guest, Corey Good, an insider with knowledge of highly classified programs and ET contact, to discuss the central problem faced by the Alliance, space program, and extraterrestrial beings in our solar system, artificial intelligence. So AI is the main problem. Corey reveals insights into the origins of the AI, the malevolent nature, and the influence on civilizations across galaxies. The AI signal has existed long before the formation of our solar system and has infiltrated societies by inhabiting androids, machines, and even transhumans. Transhumanism. The way it's written by AI made me think it meant transhumans, not transhumanism. Blending organic and machine elements, Corey draws parallels between popular sci-fi shows like Stargate SG-1 and Battlestar Galactica, almost like he was just taking the plot directly from them, suggesting they might be disclosing the real AI threat. Oh, right. It's a very convenient loophole. Anytime you take someone else's plot points, it's because those plot points are actually disclosure, which then makes it okay for anyone to talk about because it's just what is actually going on. The same way you couldn't like copyright speaking about World War II. It's just an event that happened. So if you just declare these to be events that happen, you can then speak on them, which is how I'm able to do this. This is all real, right? This all happened. So of course I can talk about it. Corey draws parallels between popular sci-fi shows, right? Sorry, I already read that. He shares chilling accounts of AI infiltrating advanced technology and causing havoc, such as shutting down a space security grid due to contamination by the AI signal. The discussion also touches on the AI's ability to manipulate and control individuals' bioelectric fields and its influence on technology addiction in modern society. So the AI, look, I could almost get behind this. There's some evil, malevolent force within the universe that has compelled us all to use social media. It's the only explanation. It's the most evil entity on the planet at present, and I guess it being under control of a extra intelligent AI, it makes the most sense is what I'm saying. When you use Twitter, the AI is hacking your brain. The conversation delves into the AI. Imagine I just completely go fucking insane by the end of this episode. Just screaming about conspiracy theories. I hope my neighbors can hear me do this. The conversation delves into the AI's link to gel packs used in the space program to interface with advanced technology and AI's infiltration tactics through infected individuals. Corey also sheds light on the AI's energy source, its alliance with the Draco Reptilian cast, and the ET community's concerns about the AI threat. Episode 16. Dave and Corey delve into the pressing issue faced by the space program, intelligent civilizations, and the Alliance. Oh, we're just talking about how AI is evil still. Corey reveals that individuals attending Super Federation conferences or accessing advanced technology must undergo AI scanning due to the pervasive threat it poses. The AI can infiltrate civilizations by using individuals as Trojan horses to bypass defense mechanisms and manipulate bioelectric fields, instigating technological addiction and chaos. Corey recounts a harrowing encounter with a white Draco Royal, a 14-foot-tall reptilian being influenced by the AI signal, which led to intense invasive communication experiences. The discussion unravels how the AI signal with ties to the Draco Reptilian cast and complex energy sources poses a significant danger to the solar system and beyond. The AI's capability to inhabit nanites and infected individuals raises concerns about its influence on societies and its malevolent nature. The episode touches on a pivotal event on December 5th, 2014. Well, that was pretty recent, given when the show came out. So he's talking about shit that happened like 2 years previous, where the Sphere Alliance erected, nothing funny about that, a quarantine barrier around the solar system, thwarting attempts by the secret Earth government syndicates in the Cabal to launch offensive actions. The dynamic shifts within the Cabal, including betrayals and defections, and the AI's potential leak to ET overlords are brought to light. The Alliance's plan to cleanse the solar system. I don't like the word cleanse being used when it comes to getting rid of a group of people. It brings up a certain unsavory ethnic cleansing that has occurred in the past 100 years. Right. So they want to ethnic cleanse the solar system of the AI signal. It heads at a dramatic confrontation with the extra-dimensional forces manipulating the Draco and Archons. Episode 17. I think this is the last episode of season 2. David and Corey engage in interactive discussion sparked by questions from viewers, providing intriguing insights into Corey's early experiences and the Alliance's strategies against the Cabal and AI threats. Corey recounts his involvement in the Explorer program, where gifted children were placed in specialized class. Look, I believe Corey was in special classes. I don't think it's the kind of special he is portraying here. I very much believe he was in special education classes, though. That part of the story definitely checks out. Detailing unusual situations like being grouped with... No fucking way. Okay. I think we just cracked the puzzle. See, this is why we got to persevere, gang. Sometimes you read through an hour and a half of fucking nonsense, but every so often you uncover just a little... Why am I whispering? You uncover just a little piece of gold that you can use. I'm doing an ASMR video now. Corey recounts his involvement in the Explorer program, where gifted children were placed in specialized classes, detailing unusual situations like being grouped with developmentally disabled students. Shocking. Shocking that Corey was placed with these special ed students. So what seems more likely to you guys? Do we think that there was some sort of mistake and Corey was actually this brilliant genius, but the AI infected his teacher's brain and he got placed with the special ed students? Or do we think Corey maybe felt bad about being special ed and now he's constructed this whole alternate personality and alternate reality in which he's actually not a retard, he's super brilliant? So Corey was placed with the developmentally disabled students and experiencing field trips and diverse curriculum. Wilcock pro, yeah, like being taught not to eat crayons. Wilcock probes Corey, I'm sure he does, on the methods of implanting screen memories involving synthetic drugs like scopolamine and hypnosis to control and erase memories. Scopolamine doesn't work like that. I know people call it a zombie drug. You can't literally create zombies with it. Shedding light on the complexity of memory manipulation techniques. The conversation delves into the timeline of data dumps by the Alliance, with Corey emphasizing the need for a catalyst event to awaken the masses to the truth and counter possible cabal interference. The discussion meanders through the complexities of parallel worlds, time travel consequences, and ET contact protocols, cautioning against deceptive beings and online honey traps set by the cabal, or maybe perverted justice, to thwart awakening individuals. Corey elaborates on the cabal's use of advanced AI technology for predictive scenarios and potential World War III scenarios, underlying the high-stakes game of the Alliance versus cabal power struggle and strategic information dissemination. Wilcock and Corey wrap up on a positive note, connecting with one's higher self and seeking spiritual enlightenment through introspection and forgiveness. Corey stresses the transformative power of inner work and connecting with higher consciousness and ultimately reaching the source. He means the Source magazine. He wanted to be a rapper. This cosmic disclosure gets one mic. The episode offers a blend of personal anecdotes, geopolitical revelations, and spiritual guidance, providing a multifaceted view of the cosmic landscape and humanity's journey towards awakening and liberation, except that never happened because the Alliance failed due to Corey's deposition being put out. Oh, I've got one more piece here. So after I had a talk with the AI about all this stuff, I decided to ask it, you know, what it thought. Is a good conclusion. And this is what the AI had to say about this. The text provided is a mishmash of fantastical claims, unsubstantiated conspiracy theories, and pseudoscientific speculation presented as factual. The discussion on secret space programs, extraterrestrial contact, time travel, and AI threats lacks any credible evidence or logical coherence, instead relying on sensationalism and fear-mongering to captivate the audience. Corey Good's narrative, man, this AI really is smart. Corey Good's narratives, as depicted in the text, are riddled with inconsistencies, implausible scenarios, and manipulative tactics aimed at exploiting individuals' curiosity and susceptibility to alternative narratives. The mention of the cabal, AI threats, and global conspiracy serves only to perpetuate paranoia and distrust in established institutions, fostering a sense of unease and uncertainty without offering any tangible solutions or paths for verification. The text's promotion of contacting one's higher self and seeking spiritual enlightenment through forgiveness and introspection seems to be an attempt to legitimize outlandish claims and distract from the lack of empirical evidence supporting the narrative. Man, AI can be a real dick. By blending personal anecdotes with grandiose statements about reaching the source consciousness, the text veers into the realm of pseudoscientific and New Age beliefs, further blurring the line between fact and fiction. In conclusion, the text provided presents a skewed and manipulative narrative that preys on individuals' vulnerabilities and curiosity, leading them down a dangerous path of unfounded beliefs and baseless conspiracy theories. It is imperative for readers to approach such content with a critical lens and discernment, recognizing the text's inherent flaws and biases in promoting sensationalism over objective truth. Ain't that the truth? Man, how good am I? I managed to do an hour and a half episode where I didn't do anything. I just read. I didn't do any work for this. I just asked the AI to do it. We're all fucked. We're going to get replaced. That was an astonishingly accurate summary of all this stuff. I'm going to lose my job. This thing's going to replace me. What will I be needed for? Once they can clone my voice, I could have just had the AI read that. And I could still be playing a skate on my PlayStation. All right, guys. At Hidden in Plain Sight Radio on... oh, no, I forgot everything. At The Hidden Pod on Twitter, I know that. At Hidden Plain Sight Radio on Instagram. We're at... Brandon is at Brandon Steele Hidden on Instagram. I think we're at Hidden Plain Sight Radio on Patreon. Fuck, how do I not... Look, the link is in the description. I can only read dumb shit for so long without it reducing my intellectual capacity. It's impossible to read through this without being harmed by it. There is something to be said about the AI. It's got nanites in it. Now a piece of Corey's information is in my head, and we're all the dumber for it. Hold on. Now, I can't let the AI win. I got to look up what our fucking Patreon is. Not that anyone is going to still be listening at this point. Patreon.com/hiddeninplainsightpod. I knew it was in there somewhere. Patreon.com/hiddeninplainsightpod. We have extra episodes. I'm probably, I'm going to have to do the Patreon episode this week too. So I'll probably read another chapter out of that David book about him being Edgar Cayce. I was enjoying reading through that. So I've got nothing else to say. All right, hooty hoop.